This week we're going to be doing Parshas Miketz, and what I'm hoping to do is just following along the lines of the way some of the things that have been drawn out in the class with the commentary of the Ksav HaKabbalah is point out words which we kind of think that we know what they mean, and demonstrate through his commentary, which he always backs it up with at least one pasuk, if not more, from other areas in Tanakh, come up with different understandings of words. In some cases, we'll go off into a much larger topic, and there was actually a very long thing, which I think I did not end up giving you because it was just too long. And I'll mention that as quickly as I can. Okay, but I want to go in the order of the booklet which you have. So that's what we're going to do. The parsha begins with Paro's dreams. And Paro's dreams. Paro has two dreams, and in between the two dreams, the pasuk says in pasuk Dalet, "Vayikatz Paro," that Paro wakes up, and after the second dream as well, at the end of pasuk Zayin, it says, "Vayikatz Paro v'hine chalom," that Paro wakes up, and behold, it is a dream. So the Torah here describes or depicts the dreams, it seems, as they happened, with the seven cows, the seven big cows, seven small cows, and the Torah uses a number of descriptions to indicate what these cows look like, and the same thing for the stalks of grain, describing how they looked. Now, what is interesting as well is how when Paro recounts the story to Yosef, so there are two things to note, actually. If you look towards the end of Pasuk Ches, then in the morning, Paro's exasperated, he doesn't know what's going on, and he calls all of his wise men. The pasuk says that Paro told over his dreams to them, and nobody's able to interpret it. And then the Sar HaMashkim speaks up. The Sar HaMashkim is the guy who was one of the last people we saw at the end of last week's parsha. He was the wine pourer who got his job back after Yosef interpreted the dream for him. So Vaydaber Sar HaMashkim as Paro Limoris Chata Ay Ani Maskerio. He says, "I recall my sins." So what are my sins? He actually doesn't even mention them at all. He just says, "Paro, you got angry, and you threw me in jail. Me and the Sar HaOfik." So Ksav HaKabbalah, this is not so much an interpretation as much as he's just explaining what are the sins. So he has two different possibilities of what the sins of the Sar HaMashkim are. So let's take a look at it quickly. Unklos Tirgem Surchani Lashon Yachid. I guess it means it's really my sin. Yonatan Ben Uziel Tirgem Surchanai Lufiya Mikra B'Lashon Rabim. So it's my sins. Chata'ai. So I guess the difference between Unklos and Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel is whether the word Chata'ai is referencing a plural or referencing singular. So he says, I actually believe that it's two. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is actually referencing the way that he interpreted that story, which is that the Sar HaMashkim was an overseer, and that it wasn't actually he who had sinned with whatever happened to the wine. It was an underling of his who sinned. However, so that's the first one, that his watching over, in other words, his overseeing the work of his underlings was not good. And if you skip to the end of the middle of that line, v'hashenis, towards the end of the middle of the line, rather, v'hashenis shechata hu be'atzmo be'ez hoshito akos al kaparosh lanasan oz bekos eno liros hamashkem naki, etc. Imamashkem naki. And the second sin is that he didn't actually check the cup. Okay, he's not the wine maker or the wine. He's the wine presenter. That's really what his job is. He's the final guy. He's like the prime minister of wine, let's say, who gives the cup to Paro. So he didn't check. So those two sins. One, he didn't oversee the underlings properly. The second is he didn't check the cup. Barabba Seinu Amru. Barabba Shnei Chatayim Yesh Bedi. Barabba means in Bereshis Rabba. The rabbi said that there are two sins. Achas Shlo Asisi LiYosef Tova Lefanecha. One is that I forgot about Yosef. Basically, I was supposed to mention Yosef to you, and I didn't. That I've been watching you, you're asking for interpretations, and can anybody interpret? And I know about a guy in jail, and I didn't mention it to you. She says, that's another way to say of what his two sins are, That's what the Midrash Rabbah mentions with reference to this. Okay, now, I mentioned, and I didn't give it to you, but that when Paro's dream is presented in the Torah on page 222, it's very different from the way, not very, I shouldn't say very different, but it's considerably different from the way that Paro presents it to Yosef starting on page 224. And I don't have the time to go through all the details. The Ksavek Kabbal does actually wrote an article about this. So you can find it on my blog if you care under Parshas Miketz. It's about Paro's dreams. My blog is arabbiwithoutacause.blogspot.com. But anyway, so in there, I think I pointed out all the differences. Paro may change a word. He may change a description. Just to give you one example, in the actual dream, it says that Paro v'hine omeid al Hayor, Paro standing on the river. Okay, and then when he tells over the dream, he says to Yosef, Hinani omeid al safas Hayor, that I'm standing at the edge. And the way, at the edge of the river, and the way that each of the cows are described and the way that the stalks are described, there are subtle changes in words, a word which is added here. Sometimes Paro will add a complete pasuk in his description of it. And the question is why he's changing things. And the different viewpoints mentioned by the different commentaries, but the Ksavek Kabbalah, the view that he seems to follow is that through making these changes, Paro was actually making it harder for Yosef, because Yosef wasn't getting a full picture. Paro was like adding his own commentary, but Paro didn't really know what he was talking about, or maybe he did. That's another thing which is not so clear. But in any case, the way that it concludes is that it's obviously very clear to Paro that Yosef's interpretation is the correct one. And that is what puts Yosef into a position where he's able to be appointed to the high position that he ends up getting. Now, so now we get to the first interpretation of the Ksavek Kabbalah about a change of a word. Not a change of a word, but a different meaning of a word. So when Yosef interprets Paro's dreams, so what does he say? After he describes everything, so now on page 226 in the Chumash, so he tells Paro that there are going to be 7 years of plenty, and it's followed by 7 years of famine, to the point that nobody's going to remember the days of plenty, because they're going to be subsumed by the days of famine. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Yosef says, "Ba'al Yishanosach Alom Pachar El Paro Pamaim," and which we how would you translate "Ba'al Yishanos"? What?
Repetition.
Well, the word va'al is really what we're looking at.
As
for. And on, or and regarding, right, about, okay? So, take a look at the Ksavek Kabbalah. So I have always translated, and regarding the doubling of the dream, he says, well, that's God's way of saying that it's going to happen, and it's real. So he says, milas al po ledati inyan siba. He says it actually comes from the word meaning a reason. Okay, in other words, the reason why Moshe and Aaron, for example, don't get to go into the land, al means because of the reason of Marisem, whatever it is that they had done. Al ki ein Elohai b'kirbi, because of the simple reason of that God is not with me. So what's he saying? That it's the reason for the doubling is. That's what he's generally, he's translating the word va'al to mean the reason for it. This is the, so it's not a big chiddush, but using other words, he's demonstrating for you how the word al means siba, means the reason for it. Now, the next thing that Yosef says to Paro, and this is actually one of the more troubling things that Yosef actually says, is pasuk lamed gimel. Okay, in which Yosef says, ata, Viata Yere Faro Ish Navon Vichacham Vishisei Al Eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, now translate the word Yere.
It says see, but it means seek here. But it says see. Yere see, right?
Right. Okay. Right. Is it right? Right. Right.
Right. I don't know.
Right. Okay. Good. Listen. Honesty is good. Yere Paro. So, like, what's the root of the word Yere? Is it from the word Roeh? Is it from the word Yira?
Oh,
you know. Yeah, but I mean, but look at the context of what he's saying. You know, he's saying Yere Faro, Paro something Ish Navon V'Chacham, a wise man, that Paro should do something, and that something is whatever the word Yere means.
See to it.
Okay, right, maybe. See to it, right? See to it. Vishiseyu al Eretz Yisrael and make him an important figure. So now let's take a look what he says. Okay, take a look. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We're in the middle of page 1. Yere Paro. Okay, okay, so first thing is Yisora Meforshim Yinasanis Yosef Lios Yoetz Lamelech Hilonikro Akluf Torah Chalom. So this is a major question that people have is how on earth does Yosef have the gall to try to interpret? I mean, Paro didn't have, not to try to interpret, to give Paro advice. Paro, you should appoint somebody. I mean, what do you mean? You were asked to interpret the dream. You did that. So what are you doing more for? So Nir Lamar Shein Zo Eitz Midato Avagamu. He says, this is not advice. This is continuing part of the interpretation. In other words, there was something in Paro's dream that told Yosef that this is part of the interpretation. The fact that Paro woke up after the first dream, and he even mentions that to Yosef, look, what do we care? If Paro woke up, how many times in the nighttime do you have several dreams and you don't wake up in between? Who cares if you woke up? The fact of the matter is, over the course of your sleeping in the nighttime, you have several dreams. So he says, the fact that Paro woke up is, the interpretation is that you need to wake up to this reality. And so therefore, Yosef is saying, you need to do something, Paro. It's not just that this is going to happen. You have to do something. You got to wake up and smell the coffee. So that I thought was really kind of cool. Okay, and that's the first one. So I'm not going to read the rest of it. You can go through it if you like. The next part is the question of Yere. Okay, that's the bottom of the page. Yaseh Paro. Im Paro yafkip gidim v'habor ye tachas yad Paro matzorech al ishan avon. Says if Paro is going to make this whole thing happen, then what do you need another guy for? What do you, if Yosef is going to end up, I mean, we know what ends up happening to Yosef. Yosef ends up being the Mishneh LaMelech, right? He's the second in command. And so, and what's he doing? He's just overseeing everything. He's not, does he have to be so hands-on? And even if he does, is it so demanding? I don't know. If you delegate the right way, maybe not. So Vayomer Mefarshim Yaseh Paro Mashi Zecharti Tchila Sheyashis Ha'ish Hanavon Al Kol Eretz Mitzrayim Sheze Ha'ish Hanavkon Yafkip Kidim Hu Yikach HaChomesh Menatvuos. He says that you have to have a guy who actually is pretty hands-on, and he's going to be taking the fifth. V'yikbitzu V'yitzperu Chozer Al Pekudim. And that person is going to be in charge through all of the Kavitsa and the Sevira, the different acts which are going to be done here. So now he says, I have to add something. V'nir Lomar, or V'nir Lilo Sifal Tevrahim. That's what all the commentaries are talking about. But okay? He says, how would you, if you didn't know how to read Hebrew, but you knew like a little bit about Hebrew, okay, how would you read this word? You might say, Yere Paro, right? Because, like Yira. I mean, sometimes that's just the way people talk. But where's the accent in the word? It's Yere. Look at where the little trup is, the munach. Is on the resh, which means that the word is mil, not mil el, not with the accent earlier, it's mil ra, accent later. V'chulam haresh b'shalosh nekudos v'chan tzere. Now, I'm not really sure what he's talking about because that's not what we have. He says everywhere else the resh has a segol, and here it's a tzere. But in our chumash, we obviously have a segol. So I'm not really sure what he's talking about there. But anyway, no matter how you look at it, skip the parenthesis. Don't say that the word Yireh means like choice or something that a person wants to happen. Like when Avram says to Yitzchak, Elokim Yireh lo aseh li'o labani, that God is going to show or find the sheep. Right? Anytime, like in the example of the Akedah, it means something that will be chosen or found. Basically, what he's saying is, if you look at the next line, when it says, it means, Yaseu paro liroe umashkiach. So in other words, yere is a verb. It's a verb, but it's describing what the job that paro should create would look like. Yere paro ish navon v'chacham. Okay, that what paro should make is an overseer, essentially. Somebody who's seeing. It's not that paro should see and look and figure out. It's that this is the job that paro should see put in place, somebody who's overseeing. So again, it's just a different, it's a different view. And if you look at, just skip to the next line, al ze amar yere paro ish klamar paro ya'asehu liroe umashgiach. You should make the ish into a roe, one who is overseeing, and that is that's the idea which we have. Okay, again, it's just taking a look at a word which we either we think we know or that we're not really familiar with or we never paid attention, and he's showing us what it can mean. And again, using the examples which he gives in his text, that should hopefully help us. Okay, the part which is in italics, I wrote in my notes, I would do this if I have time. I know I'm not going to have time, so I just leave it for you in italics, and we're going to move on. Okay, the next thing is Yosef. Yosef is given a name. It's on page 228, towards the bottom of the page. Vayikra paro shem Yosef tzafnas paneach. What is tzafnas paneach? That's the name which is given to Yosef. So in the movies which actually do this correctly, paro says, I'm going to give you a name, tzafnat paneach. Everybody, this is Tzafnat Paneach. Everybody say hello. Tzafnat Paneach! Tzafnat Paneach! So, okay, they do that right. But what does the word mean? What does the word mean? Or what does the phrase mean? Why is he giving them this name? So, one interpretation, which is the more common one, is we're all familiar with the word Tzafun, right? We have it at the Seder, right? So, right. So Tzafnat Paneach means the revealer of the hidden. Okay, that's the first interpretation. Tzfunot Modia Bedas Miniach Ruchan Shel Brios Behen. That what he does is he reveals hidden things and he brings calm to people who are otherwise distraught over whatever it was. So in Paro's case, obviously it was his dreams. And that's the first interpretation. Skip to the next line towards the end. V'habez Yaskim Im Lashon Mitzri. He says the second interpretation is that it is it's a reflection of the Egyptian language. That it's the person who saves the world. So that's a nice name for what Yosef is doing. Okay. Now, the next pasuk same pasuk. Vayitein lo es osnaspas potifera kohen only isha. He gave Yosef a wife, this lady, osnaspas potifera. It's a very interesting discussion as to who she is, but Ksav HaKabbalah doesn't touch her at all. Vayitzei Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. What does Vayitzei mean? Right, of course, right? Does everybody agree? Wrong, okay. So I say, Ein leparsho inyan tiltul aguf etznuaso. Don't talk, don't take it to mean going out, you know, the moving of the body and its traffic. It says that he goes out, that he cross passes through all of Egypt. So what do you mean? Vayitzei Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim memhei. Right, and then the end of the next pasuk, "Vayavor b'chol eretz Mitzrayim." Wait, he's going out and he's passed. What do you mean? That would seem to imply saying the same thing twice. That he's taking two trips. Yosef's not taking two trips through Egypt. So, what does it mean? Gam ein milas al nofel teva loshon yitzia. Vayitzei al, vayitzei Mitzrayim. I don't know, but it wouldn't be al. Al is not the right word. Aval hu inyan afrasha v'yitzia min haklal. So, what does it mean? Vayitzei al Mitzrayim. That basically means that Yosef became exceptional. Yosef was raised above everybody else in the sense of he was taken out of one status. What was his status up until now?
Evan.
Slave. And he became something al Eretz Yisrael.
The interpretation here fits with that. Yosef emerged in charge of the land.
All right, it's good. So that's a good reflection. But obviously that's not a translation of the word Vayetzeh the way that we would normally do it. And that's now, so the art scroll is interpreting. Fantastic. Okay, so that's a good example. Okay, and if you look, actually, skip, go to the part where it says, Ein lecha davar, yeah, fourth line. Ein lecha davar, yoter zar v'niflam, asher nishavah yosef. It says, there's nothing stranger than what happened to Yosef. Haya Eved Nimkar. He was a sold slave. Yoshev Beis Asurim, sitting in prison. Ger Be'eretz Nachri, or Gar Be'eretz Nachri. He's a stranger in this strange land. Ein Ish Makireu. Nobody knows who he is. Lo Oso, not him, lo Mishpachla, not his family. Muvdal Mikol B'nei Medina Medas. He's separate from everybody religiously, right? He's an Ivri. He's from Avra, the Abrahamic family, and these people are all Egyptians and whatever they believe in. They're all pagans. V'hu Pitom, he's Nasei Alehem L'melech, and now he becomes king over all of them. It's crazy. Insane. Hinei Al Yitzia Azos, and Iflais. That's what it is. Okay, that it's just insane what happens to him. And so that's the interpretation which he gives in terms of what Vayitzei means. Okay, the next section which we have, I cut out half of it and I just summarized it in the three words of why no letter. The question which is asked here is that now Yosef becomes king in Egypt. How come he doesn't write to his father? Why doesn't he communicate? Now, if you want to say, we can ask the question about all the time that Yosef was in Egypt up until now, and some people do. A lot of contemporary I don't want to say Bible scholars, like Tanakh scholars, actually ask that question. And I know Rabbi Yehuda Nun wrote an article about it, Rabbi Yaakov Meidan wrote an article about it back in the day, and I'm sure others have written about it as well. And that's the basic question here. Like, if you want to say that Yosef, when he gets down to Egypt, he's upset, he doesn't really know what happened to him, he's been living there for 13 years now, and he's been in prison for most of that time, now he comes out, he becomes a king, wouldn't he want to perhaps inform his father, hey, I'm alive, things are okay now, it's been pretty rough, but hey, but now it's good, and good times are coming, but then bad times are coming, because I know what's going on. So that's the question which he essentially asks. And then the Ksav HaKabbalah pins the question even further on the question of Kibbutz Av. In other words, wouldn't it be appropriate from the perspective of honoring one's parents in order to do that? So his answer is, and I think just to save time, I'm not going to read it inside, but his answer is that he's doing this because of his great tzidkus. What do you mean his great tzidkus? That he knows that his dreams were prophetic and that they're supposed to come true. But he doesn't want them to come true from the perspective of his brothers bowing down to him knowing that he's Yosef. He says by the time that they come down, they're going to come down, and he knows they're going to come down because it's going to happen that, because he knows from the dream, that Paro's, that whatever is going to be saved and salvaged in the land is going to be something which is going to save the world around. And what that means, by the way, we're going to get to in a couple minutes in one of the next commentaries that we're going to see. But the point is that he says, look, if they know that I'm Yosef, I don't want them to bow down to me knowing that I'm Yosef and that they have to fulfill my dream. I the only way that this can happen in a way which doesn't compromise their honor and dignity is if they think I'm a non-Jewish king in Egypt. Okay, that's the view which he says. Why? Because his whole perspective is that Yosef HaTzadik is Yosef HaTzadik, not just with Eshes Potiphar, with the wife Potiphar. Yosef HaTzadik is through and through. So he's looking out for their covenant and honor. Because if he would come down and like, hey guys, I'm Yosef. Oh, no, don't bow down. But if they don't think that about him, then his dreams can actually be fulfilled. So that's the perspective which he has, which I think is just, it's really worth reading through just to see what he says. If you can make your way through it. And that's what he says in that pasuk. Yeah. It's longer. So I want to try to get through more of this. So longer ones like that.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Okay. Well, longer. That's basically what he says. He says he's doing this. This is all from like a firm perspective. I mean, just to one line. In mitchilas is now so I am odiel aviv shuchai v'shu moshe b'midina. He says that the dream would be nullified, canceled, because they're not. He doesn't want that to come from because I'm Yosef. He wants it. He needs it to be that they're not doing it, knowing that he's that they're doing it, not knowing that he's Yosef. Okay. Now, Yosef, once he gets settled in his position, he has two sons. One of them is Menashe, and the other one is Ephraim. And for Ephraim, it's the last pasuk in Shlishi, page 230, pasuk Nun Beis. He calls Ephraim ki Ephrani Elohim be'eretz oni. What is Ephrani? God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. So, what the Ksav HaKabbalah just has a very nice brief comment Eretz on Yi, he's actually not him, he's quoting the Barbanel. Im kolag dula batiferes v'akavod shahayuli, v'im osher atvua shahaya biyado, with all the great wonder and glory and honor that Yosef has, and all the wealth which came to the tvua, mikolzo shay mitzrayim be'inav Eretz on Yi. He still calls it the name of the land of his suffering. Liosom ruchak beis aviv v'nifrad me'eretz hakdusha, because he's separated from his family, from the Holy Land. Which is just, again, it's a beautiful reflection of Yosef's personality. That he's not just saying, he doesn't say, Be'eretz, you know, Megurasi, where I'm living now, in the interim, but on Yi, means my suffering. So it just goes to show how he's thinking and feeling, even though he is a king in the land of Egypt. I don't know how many people, when they're a thing, you know, I mean, think about Mel Brooks' line, right? It's good to be the king. How many people, when they could say it's good to be the king, would say, ah, I'm suffering? Well, that's Yosef, still suffering.
Football player.
Amen. It's like the first year of my life that I really am not interested in watching the Super Bowl because of exactly what you're talking about. Okay, anyway, I'm not really interested ever, but it's just like, it's a nice way to watch, I don't know, hang out with people. Anyway, if you don't do it alone. Okay, anyway, next. Now, the next one is actually interesting, so we'll read it inside, and the one afterwards is
mind-blowing.
Okay, Nindal, not so mind blowing, but I just thought it was kind of cool. Ra'av, so what does the pasuk say? So time passes. Vatechilena sheva shnei ra'av. So after the 7 years of plenty were completed, the 7 years of famine began. Lavo kasher amar Yosef vayhi ra'av b'chol ha'aratzos u'v'chol eretz Yitzrayim hayolachem. He says there was a famine in all of the lands. What is all of the lands? And in all of Egypt there was bread. Okay, so let's see. What is B'chol Aretzos? So he says, the Ibn Ezra says, Asher Saviv Eretz Yitzrayim, in all the lands which were around Egypt. What are distant lands going to do if they have a famine? What, they're going to go find, they're going to make their way all the way to Egypt? So he says, B'chol Aretzos means, Saviv means all around. V'chein amu b'reishis rabba, b'shalosh aretzos. Okay, now see if you can figure this one out. The first one took me a while to figure out. The other ones are a little easier. Okay? Bepinkia, Phoenicia. Anybody know what that is? Phoenicia. I had to look that one up. Okay. How did I look it up? I did a map of. I just Googled ancient Egypt until I found a map that around Egypt somewhere is Phoenicia. Phoenicia is like Lebanon. What's Lebanon today? Okay. And then the next ones you're going to know. Be Arabia, which is Arabia. Okay. Be Palestini, which is Palestine. Okay. Who Eretz Canaan? Shekaru Kain Al Shem Haplishin. That's the Ramban. Nearly the farish milas b'chol inyan hekef usviva. B'chol means things which are surrounding, the surrounding areas. K'mavuar v'yecharad kol hahar, that the whole mountain was trembling at Har Sinai. What is a whole mountain was trembling? Klamar sviva sahar, everything around the mountain. What just the mountain? I mean, whatever was around the mountain, that's what was trembling. B'chein kan b'chol aratzos tamo b'svivas aratzos, just in the area surrounding. So it's an interpretation of what kol means in this specific context, using other examples to demonstrate how kol could mean the things which are most particularly around. Okay, now the next pasuk which he has here is nunvav v'ha'ra'av haya al kol panei ha'aretz. So the famine was on all the face of the land. Vayiftach Yosef es kol asher bahem, vayishbor l'mitzrayim, vayechazak ha'ra'av be'eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, so Yosef opened all that was bahem, all that was in them, with them. What does that mean? So Yosef has these storehouses. Okay, so what's he going to do? Just open them up to everybody? Okay, the idea that people didn't have their own storehouses. I mean, one of the views which is mentioned here is actually, I'm not sure if I gave it to you. All right, okay. Well, let's just see what he says here. Okay, because this is the way that he sets it up is the way that he sets up things very often. B'chol ha'mefarshim ha'mikra chaser. All of the commentaries say that the pasuk is missing something. So they say, you know, there's some words missing here, and so therefore I'm going to explain to you what it means. That Yosef opened up all of the storage places that had tevuah in them. Remember, what were the words of the pasuk? Yosef opened es kol asher bahem, that Yosef opened up all that was in them. What does that mean? So a commentary such as, I don't even know if he's quoting who it is, will say that Yosef opened up all of the storehouses that have in them tvuah. So you have to throw in the word otzaros, storehouses, and tvuah, which means grain. He says, aside from the fact, and that's a stretch, because the Torah is not missing anything. It's very difficult to give that such an interpretation. You think that that's the way a smart businessman or a smart storehouse kind of person guy is going to do this? But Yosef's going to open up all of the storehouses? Everything's going to be gone in 5 minutes. People, take a look at what happens when there's a hurricane here. They bring out a pallet of water. I saw a video of this. And within 30 seconds, the horse, people go nuts. So you can't open everything up. It's not a smart way to do things. You're not thinking that maybe that they'll just be emptied out one by one. You're not going to have anything left for the coming years of famine. He says, this is my MO when it comes to the Chumash. You have to look at it like there's nothing missing here. Vehu, Shoresh, Pei Tav Ches. So now we have to understand that the Shoresh, the root, Vayiftach, which up until now, how have we been translating it? To mean, and he opened. Okay? He says, no, it's not what it means. Yishamesh Gamkein Lahoras Atchalas Hadavar. Vayiftach is just, it's the beginning. That's what a Pesach is. Ki hu yotze migeder talumos l'or olam. Right? When they open up, you just open up a little bit. So the first thing that needs to, that makes its way out of the storehouse, that's all that it is. Kemo mitzafun tiftach hara'a. From hidden, or from, I'm not sure that's a pasuk. I should have looked
it up. It's in Yirmiyah.
What does it mean? What's the actual, how do you read those words?
It's in the Haftarah from Tisha B'Av morning.
Is it mitzafun or mitzafon? Mitzafon, probably from the north. Tiftach hara'a. That from the north, that's where the bad comes from. But in other words, that's where it begins. Ukumo pesach tikva. Like the beginning of hope. Umizem milas vayiftach kan umilas asher b'mikra shelofaneinu hu mehanifrad ashri al ha'atzlacha hanafshis v'hazmanis. It's like, like success. Success which comes to a person in a timely fashion. Okay, so ace kol asher vayiftach ace kol asher b'hem. It's not asher that, but asher, like osher with an aleph. Okay, for example, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh. Okay, in other words, like praiseworthy stuff which comes to you in this world. V'chein l'rabosenu m'milas ashri anifrad asher ke'omram asher nasi yechta ashri ador shanasi yechata v'yavi karban. But shanasi yechata doesn't mean that he sins, but that he purges the sin. Okay, he purchases sin. So, in other words, it's a praiseworthy kind of thing which comes from success. Believe it or not, the word Asherah, an Asherah tree, an idolatrous tree, is related to it. Shehu le ilan anebad the harbos hatzlachos hazmanios. In other words, the people who turn that tree into idolatry, why are they turning it into idolatry? Because they're looking to get success out of whatever they're worshiping in this case. According to their mixed up thinking and mindset, that's where they're coming from. Okay, so you could skip a line or two. By the way, think about the bracha that's given to Asher, or the name which is given to Asher. Asher ki ishruni banos. Okay, in other words, there's a praiseworthiness that comes from the word Asher. Asher ki yeshuni banos, the whole point of Asher ki yeshuni banos means that women are going to praise me now that because I have children. That was the point of the name Asher, where it comes from. Umizel dati gam keninyan v'asher cherev gavasecha, klamar tzlochas cherev gavasecha. It comes from the word success. So if you skip towards the end, so you see, it's three lines from the bottom. Yosef pasach b'tocham. Pesach ha'atzlacha hazmanis. That what was Yosef doing? Yosef was opening up Right? He was beginning their momentary success. Meaning, people are looking at it and saying, oh my goodness, there's a famine, there's no food, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? And the answer is, well, let's have a beginning of success. How are you going to have a beginning of success? You come over to me, and I'm going to provide for you, because that's my job. Then it starts giving us details about what Yosef did. People who had their supplies used up, they still had plenty of money because they hadn't had to spend anything all this time because they had plenty. So it's not like people became poor right away. So people didn't feel like they were losing out. People felt, no problem. I can buy food. It's not a problem. So they felt success, even though they didn't have food which they were growing on their own. But what did Yosef do? That he gave them a beginning of successful feeling despite the famine. So I just think what an amazing way to look at it, to say, and this is the way that he operates with the Chumash, is that there's nothing missing here. And so what is the challenge? And this is what he does in his commentary, is he says, if there's nothing missing here, then anytime anybody says there is something missing, they must be reading it the wrong way. There must be another way to look at it. And this is a beautiful example of using words which we're familiar with in terms of their meaning, but that's another beauty of the Hebrew language, that some words have multiple meanings, and therefore, this is what we have. So that's the interpretation which he has over here. Okay. All right, let's skip the next one. You don't need that. And we're going to go to Perek Membeis. Okay. Oh, this is also fantastic. Okay. Back in Cain, and the future looked rough. Jacob's family were finding it tough. Okay. Perek Membeis. Vayar Yaakov ki yeshever b'Mitzrayim. What's the word? How do you translate the word vayar? It's not a trick question. Okay, you saw, I perceived, okay. Ki yeshever b'Mitzrayim, his food in Egypt. Vayomer Yaakov levanav. Yaakov says to his sons, Lama tisra'u. So what does that word mean? That's the question. What is Yaakov saying then? Now, we're smart, right? What is the shoresh? Reish aleph hey? So Yere, we saw, it means to see, right? Tisra'u, right? See. What's he saying to them? Lama tisra'u?
Noticeable. Make conspicuous.
Why do you make yourselves conspicuous? What does that mean?
You stand out because you have food and the others don't.
Yeah.
They had food. They had some
food. No, he says they didn't.
No, I know, but they had more food than the other people.
Okay, so now we're going to understand, why do you make yourselves conspicuous? Why is that article's translation? Okay, we're going to understand a little better. Lama tisra'u. He says, Pirush Rashi, Lashon Kachisha v'Razon, u'megzera rava, u'meshamesh binyan u'stira, Lashon Shvia v'chaya, Lashon Razon u'kachush. I have no idea what he's talking about. Okay, so not, that's Rashi. Honestly, that may be where they're getting this from. And then he quotes a number of people. He quotes, including Yonatan Menuziel, who's a favorite of his. Ra'im is, I'm not even sure who that is. So he but skip to the part where he says, Velule de Mistapina. It's about four or five lines from the bottom. Okay, you have it? Velule de Mistapina? Okay, smack in the middle of the line. Fourth full line from the bottom. Velule de Mistapina, Yisi Omer, She'ein Tavashnia Mehahispael Abal Hisharashis. He says, the second tuf in the word, lama tisra'u, it's not a grammar thing. That second tuf is actually from the shoresh. It's a root. It's part of the root. So now the root is no longer resh aleph something. It has nothing to do with seeing. The word is tuf resh aleph. Or tuf resh. V'upol anigzar min shem tar, asher yorel azman. Tuf resh, he says, refers to time. Kamo uvihagia tor Esther. And when it became Esther's turn, Esther's time to go before Achashverosh. V'ta'amo, and so therefore what does it mean? Lama tikhu lachem moed uzman kolkach. Yaakov is saying to his sons, what are you guys waiting for? There's food in Egypt. Get out of here. Now look at it in the pasuk. Vayar Yaakov ki yeshev b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov sees his food in Egypt. Vayomer Yaakov levanav. Yaakov says to his sons, Lama tisra'u, what are you waiting for? Vayomer hinei shemati ki yeshev b'Mitzrayim. There's food in Egypt. Radu shama. Okay, so maybe he's saying, why do you make yourselves conspicuous? What does conspicuous mean? Like visible here, right? Get out of here! Okay? Go to Egypt! Okay, so that's the interpretation which he has.
Question. I like it, a question. So
yeah.
You get the top and the race. What do you do with the rest of the letters?
No, but that's grammatical. To make an U at the end, that's plural to them to all the sons.
Okay, fine. Okay.
And the tough is also grammatical. You to you take your Torah, get out of here. Tisra'u.
Interesting.
Okay? Listen, I'm just sharing what I'm finding. You know, the things which interest me is what I share. And that interested me, and so I shared it. Okay. Now, the brothers come before Yosef. But which pasuk is this? Tess. The brothers come before Yosef. Oh, now it could be that I jumped the gun in telling you something a little bit about this before. Yeah. All right. The brothers come before Yosef. Pasuk Tess. Okay. Let's see. Turn the page. Yosef is a chavayim like Yeru. Yosef recognizes his brothers. They don't recognize him. Page 234. Vayizkor Yosef es achalamos asher chalam lahem. Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamed to them. Vayomer alihem, and he says to them, Raglim atem, you are spies. L'rosa servasa arz basem, you have come to uncover the weakness of the land. I mean, ervas literally means the nakedness, or whatever it means, the weaknesses of the land. Now, it could mean, one of the things which he mentions here, which I don't think we're going to look at, is that why did Yosef make that accusation at them? Because he needed to put them in a situation where they couldn't make inquiries. If they're accused of being spies, then they can't say, by the way, who is this guy? He doesn't look like anybody else.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to give them any information about who Yosef is. So that's the reason why he has to go in that direction. But in any case, Vayizkor Yosef v'sach alamos. Okay, so what's the point of... Okay, so let's take a look. Actually, I'm just going to skip to the part... I kind of mentioned this before, so maybe I didn't give you the full interpretation of what the other pasuk said, the one which I told you outside, about Yosef not writing the letter to his father. But if you take a look here, again, I'm only skipping in the interest of time. I want you to see where it says v'kavanaso. So it's towards the second to last line, middle of the line on page 4. V'kavanaso, and Yosef's intent. Lo ha'isachas v'sham l'tza'aram. He was not trying to pain them, v'chol shekein or to make them suffer. V'chol shekein l'tza'ir aviv al chinam, or to make his father suffer. He needed the dreams to be fulfilled in order the way they happened. The Lord of Salavah, he didn't want to go against what God had wanted. And his first dream was that my bundle stood up, and they had responded to him, Hamaloch Timloch. Hamashol Timshol, are you going to be a king over us? Or are you going to rule over us? So there are two components to that. Ratzalamar, Aleph Hamalucha. One side is his being a king. Ubeis Sheyipalu Biado Kederecha Asur, that they're going to fall in his hand. Right? That's what Hamashol Timshol, you're going to rule over us, is going to be. Kederecha Asur, like as if they're captured, like the way a prisoner is. Kama lumasi al amalucha. The idea of my bundle standing up, that's for being a king. V'inei tesubena, the idea that your bundles bow down to mine, hu al amem shalot. That's his ruling over them. Okay, being a king is one thing, and being a ruler over them is a different thing. V'yachach achalom ha'shini, and then Yosef had a second dream, which was about the 11 stars and the sun and the moon. V'inei achein niskaim ha'malucha. So if everybody's bowing to him, that's malucha. That's being a king. But that doesn't say anything about ruling over them. Right, in other words, I think I gave this example recently in Shul. Right, if I go I take a country that has a king, and I bow down to that king, so I'm recognizing his malucha. but he's not my king. I don't live there. Okay, so there's that difference. In other words, Yosef is a lot more comfortable with the melucha component of his being a king to whom they bow, versus to the memshala, or the being a moshel component, which shows that he's ruling over them. Okay, that part, they said, Hamaloch Hamaloch, are you going to be a king over us, or are you going to rule over us? So Yosef is saying, okay, well, those are two different, very different meanings. If you bow down to me because I'm a king, all right, that's the position. But if I'm a moshel over you, then maybe I've gone too far. Okay, so he says, V'achach v'ye'esoro sob mishmar harei memshala. So when Yosef puts them in prison for a brief amount of time, that's the memshala. In other words, for him, that's a fulfillment. I read that already. But it hadn't been fulfilled with Binyamin yet. So he wanted Binyamin to be brought down so that he can send for his father immediately. So when they bowed before him, when he had hidden the cup in Binyamin's bag, that was Yosef's way of symbolically taking Binyamin as a slave. Right? In other words, that's how he fulfilled the memshala, or the moshel, over Binyamin through the putting of the cup in Binyamin's bag, and therefore making it like Binyamin was his servant. But after all that, as we see in next week's parsha, he revealed himself, and they all came down with their father, and they just bowed down because nobody ever said about the dream of the stars that you're going to rule over us. So in other words, he limited the ruling over them to when he put them in prison or to when he declared Binyamin to be his servant. Says that Yosef just all he wanted to do was fulfill the dreams. Boom! As soon as the dreams are fulfilled, he's done. So he when the brothers bow down. So actually, this opens up an interesting question, by the way, and that is, was Binyamin really included in the first dream? Because the pasuk never says 11 bundles. The pasuk says that Yosef said that we were in the field, and your bundles bow down to my bundle. What does that mean? Okay, and that opens up the door just in general to what Yosef's dream actually really meant, and there are different interpretations as to what Yosef's dream really meant, and the question is, was Binyamin actually involved in all that? Because it doesn't say that there were 11. For the stars, it says there were 11 stars, and the sun and the moon. So the truth is that the Ksav HaKabbalah, when it comes to the interpretation of those dreams, I'm not sure that he... I don't know if he's being consistent, but I don't remember what he said was his view of the interpretation of Yosef's first dream. Okay, now the next part is actually kind of nice, and it also relates to the same idea that we just saw. Asher chalam lahem. Okay, asher chalam lahem. So just skip the part where he quotes. Just go to the first comma. Okay, he says, what's the difference between lahem and alehem? Yosef in his dreams had two opposite ideas. And I kind of hinted at this before. One is Yosef's being raised up. And the other one is the lowering down of the status of the brothers. That they should be submissive underneath the hand of the ruler over them. And if the pasuk had said that Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamed over them, that what Yosef's memory of these dreams is how much he's going to rule over them. So the pasuk doesn't say the dreams that Joseph had on them. It's dreams that Yosef had lahem, which means mehem, meaning about them. Kamo lo yavo lahem bikal Hashem shetamo mehem. That it means, just as we say about a mamzer or about the whichever peoples, that they cannot come lahem to join the community of God. It means from them, from those people, from those groups of people, they can't join the community of God. So what did Yosef want to do? He wanted to, I mean, what's coming to his mind, at least this is the way that he's interpreting it, is that he wants to bring out the part which indicates their hachna'ah, their submission. He tov yoter shachna'asam tia tachas yado. He says it's much better that any submission which they're going to experience from a ruler is going to be under him. The lo nichna'im tachas yad achirim asher yirado samifarech. And it shouldn't be under the hand of somebody else who might actually put them into slave labor. Amnam inyan hachalom anogei alatzmo lioso hu sar moshe alihem zehir chik min lezichrob machshavto. Okay, so he said, in other words, in Yosef's dream, there were two things that needed to happen. Yosef needed to rise up, and the brothers needed to be lowered. So Yosef, what he's saying is, if the brothers need to be lowered, who should be the person who's going to lower them? The guy who's going to be nicest to them, really. Okay? And if I have to be hired up, you know what? I don't even really remember that part. That didn't come back to him. That he did not want to get any honor out of his brother's submission. Yosef shouldn't be raised up through the fire, but he's using fire in a negative way, of seeking out kavod. Okay, in other words, but the hint is from the way it says, Asher chalam lahem, not alehem. Because it's not about his rulership over them. They have to go through a submission. That was part of the dream. He has to rise up. That was part of a dream. But he doesn't remember the part about himself going up and up and up and up and up to their, you know, at their cost, at their, you know, at the price of their honor and kavod. He's looking at it saying, I remember the dreams about you. You guys have to go through an experience. So I'm going to make that happen, but I'm going to make it happen in a way which is really best for you. And if you think about it, what did they go through? How bad was it? They're in prison for 3 days. Shimon, a little worse. Yes, Shimon was in prison until they came back. Fine. Different conversation. He gives them all their money back. And most of what he gives them is just a lot of heart palpitations. I mean, that's it. But he never beats them. He never hurts them. And they're not really in Egypt for a whole long period of time. As a matter of fact, most of the time they're with him, he's feeding them. They're in his palace. He's nice to them. Except for the time which they're in prison, obviously. But hey, if that's the cost of your shiftless, I think that you should, especially when looking back, you should say, this is pretty good. Okay. Now, we're gonna move on to the next thing here. And there are a few short ones, and then I think there's a couple of longer ones, and then we'll be done. Okay, a couple of short ones. So the next one which we have is B'vo'achichem HaKaton. So let's skip in the Psukim to Pasuk Tes Vav. Okay? B'zos Tibachena, Yosef tells his brothers, Chei Paron Teitzu Mizekim B'vo'achichem HaKaton Hena. You're not leaving until your younger brother comes. You can go send one of you home to get him, and then you're all here. And he threw them into the prison for the 3 days, and then he changed his mind and said, okay, you guys can all go, but we're going to leave one of you behind. V'vo'achichem HaKaton. So, and this is the part which is also a little troubling in the sense of trying to understand how the Aksav HaKabbalah understands Yosef's dream. Because look what he says. He says, Ad hina niskaimu divrei chalom ha'orishon dibim ma'almim alumim shebo ne'mar v'yagedo so le'echa v'yosifo otzno so v'lo yirak asar achim v'yim yamanim yimahem v'chlal. He says, up until now, his first dream really has been fulfilled. So I'm not sure, because he seems to be going back and forth. Has it been fulfilled or has it not been fulfilled? Does he need Binyamin for the first one or does he not need Binyamin for the first one? I don't know. So he's trying to bring Binyamin down. Okay, so that just leaves me a little lost in the scheme of things. Now, as soon as he tells them to bring Binyamin down, turn the page in the Chumash, you have the brothers, they start arguing with each other. They say to each other, we are guilty over our brother, that we saw the pain of his soul when he pleaded to us and we didn't listen to him. And so this is why this is coming to us now. Okay, they're talking about when Yosef was sold. So look at what he says here. What does the word aval mean?
But.
Right?
Right.
Wrong. Okay, aval ashimim anach milas aval perish unklus bikushta. It means in truth. Kemo aval ishtecha yoled eslecha bein. Remember when Avram was told your wife's going to have a child and he starts laughing and the malachim say aval. Not but your wife's going to have. No, it's true. Aval. V'anal b'talmud kilu amru einenu ze aval ze. It's not this, but it's this, meaning it's true. Yosef chashdam l'meraglim, heim amru shem kainim, v'lo meraglim. They're saying, no, we're not spies. And they're telling truth to Avala Shimim Anachnu. And he says, once they say, in truth, we are guilty for what happened to Yosef, look at the next thing. This is mind-boggling. Tzoras na'av shem ischanano, he says, Zeyor elanu shalom echaru echa me'olam. The fact that they're saying that we only saw, that we ignored his pain, his chanano, when he pleaded to us, that shows that they didn't sell him. And if you look back, actually, in last week's parsha, look at the pasuk which describes Tzel Yosef. The a lot of words are vague, and it's very clear. Actually, if you ignore the vagary, it's very clear that the brothers didn't sell Yosef according to the pshat of the chumash. But in any case, he says she'ilu kein. They should say, we're guilty for selling our brother. Remember, they assume that Yosef can't understand what they're saying. They're speaking in Hebrew, and he's been talking to them in Egyptian. So it should say, what do they say? Aval, truth is, we are guilty over our brother, over the pain which we ignored. He was pleading. What was he pleading? Don't throw me in the pit. Don't throw me in the pit. Hey guys, don't get me. Can you take me out of the pit? But it wasn't them who ended up taking him out of the pit, according to this, and he's bringing this as proof. Because they would say to each other, hey guys, we should feel guilty over the fact that we sold it. And they don't do that. Al-Kain ba-Aleinu. Al-Kain, what does the word Kain mean? We've had this many times in the Aksava Kabbalah. So there's only one person I'm going to say, maybe two, who should know what Kain means.
Nachon.
Ah, you cheated. Okay, you did. Al-Kain means true. Perusho al-Nachon ba-Atzara zos v'aladin. That it is just and it is right that we should have this suffering that we're going through because the word Cain means it's true, it is correct. It is correct. Okay, we are almost done. This is an hour-long class. We've been 57 minutes since we started. So let's take a look at let's see if I could just pick one really good one for the last one. So I will just tell you, by the way, in Perek Mem Dalid, which I gave you here, and I would encourage you to look, he has a really fascinating interpretation that somehow Yosef was able to communicate to Binyamin. And that everything that he did with the cup, the way that it's presented in the Chumash, it's fantastic. That it was all planned between them. And that essentially Binyamin was playing along. Playing along with the idea.
Which
it's Perek Mem Dalid. Did I give it to you? I think I gave it to you.
Bays.
Yeah, everything in Al. It's Pasuk Bays, which talks about the planning, and between Aleph, Bays, and Dalid, it's cool. Okay, I don't want to read it, but I just want to wet your palate on it. I want to go back to where we were before, and we'll finish with Pesukim Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. Pesukim Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. Okay? And this goes back to after the brothers come back, and they explain to Yaakov what had to happen in terms of bringing Binyamin down. So they get into a fight with him. Yaakov doesn't really want to agree. Reuven gives his offer, and it's only later in Perek Mem Gimel that Yehuda gives his offer to take Binyamin and to watch over for him, and that Yaakov accepts. Now, the Ksav HaKabbalah Pasuk Chav Ches, by the way, which I gave you, he talks about how the brothers are recognizing when they get the money back that there's some Mida Keneged Mida going on here. And they're recognizing that this Mida Keneged Mida punishment is actually coming from God, which is an important step for them in terms of just how they go about relating to their experience here and Yosef. But here, I just wanted to mention that, now getting back to Pasuk Lamed Vav, V'yomer Lehem Yaakov Avihem, on page 238, Osi Shikaltem, Yosef Inenu Vishimone Inenu, Ves Binyamin Tikachu, Alai Hayu Chulanu. So he says, you guys, you're messing around. Yosef's gone, Shimon's gone, Binyamin you're going to take, and what's going to be? Now, what does this phrase, Alai Hayu Chulanu, mean? Now, when we hear the word alai, we usually think it means on me, right? 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 Is that what it means here? No. What is alai hayu chulana? Alai on me was all of it? What does that mean? It's not, I mean, what is it that Yaakov is saying to them? So, this is what he says. And where does he get this from? He does this based on Trump. Billy, I know you're going to like this. Okay? He says, where is it? He mentions, yeah, in the middle line, in the second line, the Dvarav Ayaru Il Chabir Alai Hayu Bimercha Tipcha, quoting the first person that he interprets, says it should be Alai Hayu Chulana, but that's not the way it goes. It's Alai Tipcha, which is a pause. Hayu Chulana. Okay, L'chein Nir Lamar. I'm on the third line now. L'chein Nir Lamar L'Faresh, or nearly Lamar, nearly L'Faresh. Milas Alai L'shon Hisalus V'Chashivus. He says Alai means being raised up, importance. Kamo V'At Alis Al Chulana, which we're all familiar with from Eish Yischayel, that you are raised above everybody, that you're important. Allah Elohim B'Shrua, right? God is raised. God becomes important through the sound of the shofar. V'hushem Kinu Abanav Chashuvei Hamala. So it's a reference to his sons who are considered to be above. Now, what does above mean? Does he mean dead? I don't know. A liar. V'tevas Kulana Mishareish Kala. Right? It means destruction. Destruction. So what is the, therefore, what's he saying? Kamo kalu b'oshan yomai. Kechlos b'sarecha. V'heyat liya b'sofa b'makom lamed b'tchilasa. And the hey that's at the end of Kulana, instead of a lamed that should be at the beginning, basically what he's saying is that Tamo banai hamu'ulim v'chashuvim. He says, my sons, who were great and important, farholchu lahem uvolu de kilyon. They've been destroyed. They're dead. That's what happened to Yosef, that's what happened to Shimon, and that's what's going to happen to Binyamin. Dugmas asher tefakti v'rabisi oivi kulam l'chein atimcha b'milas alai. He says, alai means chashivus, alai, the chash of ones, my chash of ones, hayu chulana, they've been destroyed. Well, Yosef and Shimon, because Shimon's, we don't know, and prospectively, Binyamin. Okay, so that's what, again, a lie doesn't mean on me. It means my alls. Who are my alls? My chashuv ones. Hayu chulana, they're going to be destroyed, or they've been destroyed. Okay, that's a totally different understanding of how we might otherwise translate that. And again, legit. I mean, he backs it up with other psukim that mean the same, that have the same words. Okay, the last thing which we're going to have time for, and we don't even have time for it, we were going over, but we're going to do it anyway, is this insane offer that Reuven gives to his father. Okay? And actually, we saw something similar with Yehuda and Tamar last week. Those who were not here, I'll just tell you, that the Ksav HaKabbalah says, when Yehuda says, Hotziyu v'tisareif, take Tamar out and burn her, he says, not burn her, like to kill her, he says, burn her like Hester Prynne. In other words, make a brand her that she is a harlot. Okay, that's what it means. Not that she was supposed to die. And he says the same thing here, not in terms of branding, but he says, Reuven says to his father, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Eshnei Bonai Tamis in Lo Avienu Elecha. He says, you can basically, it means you can kill my two sons. Eshnei Bonai Tamis, right? You can put my sons to death, my two sons, if I don't bring Binyamin back. Okay, and a lot of the commentaries look at Reuven and say, what are you, an idiot? I mean, they really say, what a stupid fool would say to his father, like, what grandfather is that? Oh, if you don't bring back my son, I want to kill my grandsons. Yeah, right. Okay, so the Ksav HaKabbalah, he's not as mean in terms of that interpretation, but his last line is just fantastic. Okay, he says, Eilef HaReish Tamis Shidimi Sein B'Yadayim. Don't translate Tamis that you should actually put them to death. Ki Lo Sadia Torah Divrei Shtus Ka'ila. The Torah is not going to give such a... somebody's going to say something so stupid. Avo Perish Tamis. Now, what does Tamis mean? Tachshova sam kiilu hemesim, that you in your mind should think of them as being as dead. Lebeli harishem benachlas emosam. So don't give them a yerusha. Don't give them an inheritance. I'll deal with them. Right, whatever I give, I'll deal. But you know, our grandfather once says, okay, this is what I give to my children, and to my grandchildren I have a trust fund. Okay, don't leave my two kids out, is what Reuven is saying. Like, just wipe out their name, but it doesn't mean wipe them out. Okay, that you know, the name is Sham Misa. If you get rid of the name, then that's death. We find similar types of things. He gives another example. And look at this last line. Eli, you're going to love this. He says the Ralbag wasted his entire interpretation because he's trying to explain what Reuven means and dying. It's ridiculous. He didn't mean that they should actually die. So that's the worst he gets in terms of a swipe. It's like, Ralbag, you wasted your time. So I thought that was a nice little thing to end with in terms of the Ksav HaKabbalah's commentary on the parsha. Hopefully we saw some new interpretations tonight and we had a nice learning session. Thank you very much.